You're listening to the Daily, Daily Caller podcast on iTunes and thedailycaller.com.
Oh, baby, it's been 24 hours, and what a 24 hours it has been. What a mess this country is. Welcome to the Daily, Daily Caller podcast. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to it. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for spreading the word, trying to get people hooked on this like we're heroin, man. You're the only advertising we got. Word of mouth, baby. Love it. I appreciate each and every one of you. Subscribe on iTunes, rate and review, and all that good stuff, and more good things to come in the future. It's been 24 hours. What a difference a day makes. I went from just assuming that sort of Republicans would cave throughout the day to now seeing even the squishiest of Republicans turn their spaghetti noodle spine a little bit rigid. El dente, shall we say. I wouldn't say rigid, but el dente. It's getting there. We'll get to all of that and more in the last 24 hours. We'll cover it all in the next, I don't know, 24 minutes, 34 minutes. Depends on how long my mouth runs. But first, I got to tell you about our lovely sponsor, the American Conservative Union, and the Lord's work that they are doing. As you know, the American patient subsidizes health care in foreign countries. Yeah, these little socialist utopias around the world. Countries that socialize healthcare force American patients to subsidize the cost of their drugs because their countries refuse to pay market prices. They say to our drug companies, hey, here's what we'll pay. Take it or leave it. I don't care if you like it or not. If you don't take it, we will either not take your drug, you won't be able to sell your drug in our country, or more likely, we'll just steal your patent and give it to one of our worthless companies and let them manufacture it and just rip you off. Well, for a long time, decades, this has been going on. Lower prices around the world means that money has to be made up somewhere because it takes 10 years and up to $1 billion to bring a drug to market on average. So we end up having to foot the bill for the rest of the world. We develop the stuff and then the rest of the world rips us off. Well, politicians used to pretend to care about this and then they'd quickly move on from it after maybe mentioning it in a speech. But President Trump is fighting to end this foreign free riding on prescription drugs. It's a very important issue, ladies and gentlemen. Find out all about it at conservative.org. That is conservative.org. Check it out. Well worth your time. We love our sponsors, and the ACU is a great thing. They put on CPAC every year in addition to doing issues like this and fighting for issues like this. All right, where to begin? The Kavanaugh debacle, the Kavanaugh mess. It really is astonishing what has happened in the last 24 hours. When last we spoke, the victim here, and I'm putting that in quotes because I'm no longer particularly sympathetic. I don't believe her. She's going to have to prove something to me. The benefit of the doubt has been squandered that I was giving her. Christine Blasey Ford, or Dr. Ford, as she's referred to in the press, the woman who claims that 36-ish years ago that Judge Kavanaugh tried to rape her. The account has changed so dramatically in just the last couple of days since it was made, because it was just made a couple of days ago. He forcibly kissed her, put his hand over her mouth. She was afraid he was going to rape her. Then an account in the Washington Post, she thought maybe if he was going to kill her if she didn't get away. But through all this alleged trauma, she can't remember the two most important details about this. The where and the when. She doesn't even have a year. So you can't say, well, it was summer of 82. I don't remember which day in the summer of 82. That would be somewhat believable. But you can't remember the year. You can't remember how old you were when this happened. Conveniently, the two things she can't remember, the where and the when, are the only two things in a situation like this that could possibly be used to clear Brett Kavanaugh's good name, unequivocally. Now, circumstantial evidence, denials, character witnesses, testimonials, his friend, Mark Judge, who was allegedly there at the time and named by Ford as being in the room. He swore up and down he didn't know anything about this. Is nothing. He did not witness anything like this. He'd never seen Brett Kavanaugh do anything like this. All that is, it casts doubt, shall we say. But if you can say where, you can go to that house. You can find out who lived there at the time. Find out if they had any children who might have had, you know, friends over drinking and partying any time around those years. If that isn't the case, then that kind of blows a big hole in the story. Or, you know, did your kids know Brett Kavanaugh? You could have found that out if we knew the where. More importantly, most importantly, she can't remember the when, which could unequivocally clear Judge Kavanaugh. How? You're saying, Derek, come on, how? How could that possibly do it? Well, if you say it was late July 1982, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was the worst experience of my life. I'll never forget it. Well, what if the Kavanaughs were on vacation in late July 1982? What if they'd spent the month in South America, the month of July in South America? They were dealing with families with money. I assume families with money take very long vacations, extravagant vacations. So what if, you know, they were in the Rocky Mountains at the time that Dr. Ford swears up and down that this occurred? Then Kavanaugh would have an ironclad alibi. It could not have happened, or at least could not have been him. But those are the things that she can't remember, very conveniently. And we're supposed to just pretend that that's okay. That's perfectly normal. That's understandable. That's no big deal. We'll take you at your word anyway. I am beyond that the more that I hear about this story. Because Dr. Ford originally wrote Democrats, and only Democrats, in late July of this year. Late July of this year. She then, in August, took a polygraph test, a lie detector test. Now, they're inadmissible, they're unreliable, there are people who can cheat those things, and they're not scientific. But the media is treating them as though, oh my goodness, it was God himself vouched for Dr. Ford. She took a lie detector test. At the time she wrote the letter, she allegedly told everybody involved that she sent the letter to, and anybody she talked to, any Democrat she talked to about the letter, that she wanted to remain anonymous. She wanted no public spotlight. She didn't want to come forward. She just thought they should know. Well, then why take a lie detector test? If you're never going to come forward, or if you don't think you're ever going to come forward, what do you need a lie detector test for? You don't need a lie detector test if you're never planning on coming forward. She also scrubbed her internet footprint for the most part. Social media wiped pretty well clean. Now, that doesn't strike me as somebody who is never coming forward, never wants to come forward. Now, an argument could be made that she thought, well, my name could get out there, and I don't want all of these liberal causes and liberal actions and liberal activist things that I've been involved in, excuse me, to be out there. An argument could be made about that. But then again, if you have the righteousness of your cause, if you truly believe it, it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter, and it wouldn't matter, honestly. Who cares what somebody's politics are? Somebody's punched in the face. Who cares what their politics were? You don't say, well, I don't know. Maybe you rammed your face into their fist because you're a this or that or the other thing. I find it rather curious. And her story has evolved, not just over the years. She allegedly told her therapist about, I guess it was 6 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, that she was assaulted. And she told her therapist that there were four boys in the room. Well, she claims that her therapist wrote down four, but she really only told her therapist two. I tend to believe the person taking the notes at the time over the person who can't remember the year. So this is all falling off. The wheels are falling off. But that's not really why the holes in the story, the missing components in the story, aren't really why I don't necessarily believe Ford anymore. Well, I shouldn't say anymore. I didn't believe it at face value. I thought maybe something had happened, and maybe something still had happened to her. But you certainly cannot. There's no evidence whatsoever that Kavanaugh was involved in it. Maybe somebody else did, and she's projecting on it. But the thing that turned me around was just 24 hours ago, Democrats and Ford's attorney were all claiming that she is more than happy to tell her side of the story. In fact, she's ready, willing, and able to testify to get this so important that this story get out there, that the world know what Brett Kavanaugh allegedly did to her any number of ish years ago, that she was willing to testify and she wants to be heard. Now, this was when the hearing was over. There was a vote scheduled for Thursday to get Kavanaugh out of committee. Democrats had just delayed it, and Senator Grassley had just delayed it, and Democrats want to delay it past the election, because if they can get past the election and a miracle happens where the Democrats take the United States Senate, which some polling suggests they have a shot at, outside as it is, then they can block any Donald Trump nominee indefinitely. Certainly for the next 2 years, the media would be on their side and they would have the Merrick Garland argument to make. It's politics, it's dirty politics, but it wouldn't be beyond the pale. It wouldn't be unaccepted. So you begin to see, well, is this just a delaying tactic? Because after swearing up and down that her client wants to tell her story, is ready to testify, and Democrats saying this woman must be heard, she must be allowed to testify, Senator Chuck Grassley, the chairman of the committee, said, okay, we'll delay the vote. We're going to have a hearing on Monday, and we'll hear from Judge Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford, and we'll air this out. She will go first. He will go second. And you can ask any questions you want. Knock yourself out. Let's try and get to the bottom of this. Suddenly, after getting everything they wanted, Democrats and Dr. Ford, through her attorney, moved the goalpost. They dug them up and moved them another 50 yards down the road. They said, no. Dr. Ford's attorney wrote a letter to Senator Grassley saying this is ridiculous. We couldn't possibly be ready to tell a story by Monday. That's only 5 days away. We need more time. We need prep time. I don't know how much rehearsal time you need to tell your own life story. And Democrats said, no. We need an FBI investigation. And suddenly, Ford's attorney said she will only testify after an FBI investigation. Well, the FBI already had the opportunity to investigate, and they don't do that sort of stuff. They passed on it. The FBI's job is to do background checks on people. They've done 6 on Judge Kavanaugh, and they're not out there to try and rehash what allegedly happened when people were back in high school. They don't do criminal investigations of this sort. This is a local matter. If a crime was committed, it would be a local crime. That ain't the FBI's gig, even though the left would love to create a national police force and then just investigate all conservatives or anybody who isn't a leftist. So the FBI said, no, we put a note in his personnel file. This is in there. But we're pretty much done here because you can't prove it. How would the FBI investigate this? According to Ford, she told nobody for about 30 years. Nobody, not a living soul, and nobody knew it at the time. So who are they going to talk to? She doesn't remember where, she doesn't remember when. Kavanaugh and Judge, the two men she accused, have both denied it. There's your answer. There's your question. You can't say, were you in this at this party at this house on this day, because Ford has no idea where this party was or whose house it was or what year it was. Forget the month. That's what I find so amazing. Allegedly, if this took place in 1982, Dr. Ford would have been 15 years old. Now think about when you were 15 years old. Again, they come from money. I don't know if they're, you know, FU money, but they're certainly wealthy. They're going to private schools, elitist schools out here in Montgomery County. But at 15, your world is pretty small. If you don't have horrible parents, I will qualify it by that. If you have horrible parents, the whole world is your oyster. You could hitchhike to Florida and nobody would give a damn. If that's the case, which I don't think it is, since Dr. Ford seems to be a successful professor and not a basket case, but at 15 years old, you're limited. You don't drive. Most of your friends are your same age. You usually make friends with people in your grade. They're not driving. You have a curfew at 15 years old. Even if this alleged incident happened over the summer, you still, you know, you can't say, well, you're 15 years old. Summer, school's out. So we'll see you, I guess, in September. Have a good time. Here's a lot of money. No. That's not the way 15-year-olds work. You're always with a friend. She was allegedly with a friend at this party, yet somehow a party, in air quotes, of only six people, two of whom allegedly sexually assaulted her. Nobody notices that, and this was something that haunted Dr. Ford for decades, to the point that she eventually, finally, told a therapist about it. And nobody in that small gathering noticed you were completely broken up after it happened? Not one person? She says, oh, they turned up the music to cover up the struggle. Yeah, well, how do you cover up the obvious, disheveled, horrified look on somebody's face that they would have in that situation? Or the eerie quiet and stillness that somebody would have coming out of that situation? It doesn't make sense. But there's nothing for the FBI to investigate because nobody saw nothing. She told nobody and she remembers next to nothing about the incident except somehow a guy she didn't go to school with, she knows his first and last name and his friend's first and last name. Now, how? Why? When you're introduced to somebody and when you're 15 years old, are you getting first and last names and remembering it? If you are coming out with this story, would you not maybe talk to your friends and maybe one of your friends could remember where this was to put a little more meat on the bone of your allegations? She did none of that. None of it makes any sense. So the FBI passed on doing an investigation because we know everything we are going to know about this unless somehow Dr. Ford has a memory breakthrough, which is unlikely and frankly would also be equally suspicious if suddenly now you remember, now that you've had enough time to sort of figure it out. So the Democrats demanded this, Ford's attorney demanded this, and Republicans, to their credit, said no. Nope, the hearing is going to take place on Monday. Either you show up and testify then or forget about it. Senator Grassley has had enough. And senators, more importantly, Senators Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine, squishy Republicans that they are, and Jeff Flake of Arizona, the spaghetti-noodled senator, spined senator out there who is retiring after this year, they've all said, look, if she doesn't testify, then we got to go ahead and vote. And they would vote in support of Judge Kavanaugh, because if you can't back up, I mean, these are serious allegations. You don't get to just walk into a theater, throw a bomb, and then run away. That is not the American way. You are not guilty until proven innocent. You have a right to hear the allegations against you. We are not in a Franz Kafka novel. We are in the United States of America. The Democrats would like you to believe that you are, that we are, in a Franz Kafka novel. And that's probably the scariest thing of all of this. That's how ridiculous this has gotten. So something is going to happen on Monday. Ford's attorney has made clear that she will not show up. She will not testify. But again, if Grassley holds this line in the sand and Republicans say, come forward or we move on, maybe she will show up. It would behoove her to show up it would be a good thing for her to show up. If she's certain of the assertions that she's made, she absolutely should show up. But the fact that they're playing this kind of game makes me think, lets me know what's really going on here. They want to delay this past the election. They desperately want to delay this past the election because then they can stop Donald Trump from appointing a second, or maybe they can, appointing a second Supreme Court justice, somebody to replace Anthony Kennedy. Now, keep this in mind. Anthony Kennedy, for a long time, by the way, the Supreme Court was never in a million years meant to be like this. Never in a million years meant to be this powerful. They are the third branch of government. Yet they are now the most important branch of government because the other two branches of government, particularly the first one, Congress, sucks so bad. They write vague laws. They ignore the Constitution. They try and ram things through. But it also is a problem because the left has pretty much given up on trying to pass legislation for the most part. They sue to get what they want. And Judge Kennedy, for a long time, you hear him referred to, he was the swing vote on the Supreme Court. The liberals voted with the liberal side, the conservatives voted with the Constitution, and whichever side of the bed Anthony Kennedy got up on was the side of that won. And it had massive ramifications throughout the country. That's a scary proposition to be the at the whims of one single justice. And we saw it all the time with major decision after major decision, whichever way Judge Kennedy went, it's the way that the country went. That was the decision, a 5-4 decision. Well, this would add some stability, getting an actual conservative to replace Anthony Kennedy to the court. It would also, scarily for Democrats, force them to try and pass laws that would stand up to constitutional challenge. They don't like that. They like the 50-50, 60-40 crapshoot they had with Kennedy. They could convince him on a lot of things. In some of his decisions, he basically just said, yeah, screw it. I think this is the way it should be. And sadly, our republic has become ruled by 9 people in black robes. One in particular. Thankfully, he retired. Democrats are terrified at this prospect of having a Supreme Court that adheres to the Constitution because most of the things they want to do are extra constitutional. But I have a little bit of audio here I want to play of Senator Dianne Feinstein because she stepped in it a little bit yesterday. She didn't really step in it. For a liberal, it's weird. A liberal stepping in it is a liberal accidentally admitting the truth. She was asked about the allegations from Dr. Ford, and she said the following.
I can't say everything's truthful. I don't know.
She doesn't know if it's truthful. I don't know. But she also knows that she doesn't want to question Dr. Ford. She's already talked to Dr. Ford. I'd imagine several times over the 6 weeks she held this letter exclusively for Democrats. I guarantee you they were scrambling around. Why else would Dr. Ford have gotten a lie detector test back in August if she didn't think, all right, I've been talking to Feinstein's staff and they might have to use me as their ace in the hole, their 11th hour last-ditch attempt. So I'll go get a lie detector test so we can say that we had a lie detector test. This whole thing reeks. But for her to say, well, I don't know if she's telling the truth. How am I supposed to know? You started this. Before you go and slander a woman, a man, just try and destroy a man's life and his career, maybe you should look into it just a little bit. Don't you think? I mean, is that too much to ask from the senator from California? Maybe. Seems like it. But it's disgusting to do that. And then Dianne Feinstein, because a lot of people were like, oh my God, the person who brought this out, who spread this rumor, is now admitting that, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I believe this. Questioning Dr. Ford, because on the left and anywhere, actually, you're not allowed to say you don't believe somebody. You're not allowed to say maybe there's something weird going on here. I can't say that everything is truthful. Well, Dianne Feinstein called hell from the left over those couple of words, and she had to walk it back. She said, well, through a statement, because the staff had to walk it back, quote, "Look, I believe she is credible. What we have wanted is an investigation carried out to look at the facts before there was a hearing. The Republican majority is apparently not going to do that. But based on what I know at this stage, she is credible." Now, how can somebody be both credible and you don't know what's true and what's not true? You don't know whether or not you believe that person, but they're absolutely credible and they must be taken at face value. This is the kabuki theater that Democrats have to engage in order to try and advance their political agenda. They can't just make a political argument. They can't win on a political argument. That's how bad they are. But Dianne Feinstein was not alone. Hawaii has a senator named Senator Mazie Hirono. And at a press conference today, yesterday, she attacked basically all men in the country as being awful and tells every man that they need to just shut the hell up. Don't believe me? Listen to her for yourself.
Of course it helps that there are women committee, but you know what? I expect the men in this country and the men in this committee, and many of them, believe me, because we all signed on to this letter to demand an FBI investigation. But really, guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country. And I just want to say to the men in this country, just shut up and step up. Do the right thing for a change.
Shut up and do the right thing for a change. Well, this country exists because men stepped up several times and did the right thing, Senator Hirono. Sorry to burst your bubble and let you know the reality of the situation, but that is it. That is the truth. But don't you love it? Well, all you men, the reason that sexual assault happens, it's all men's fault. Men are the problem, and men, you should shut up. And you think, well, there's typical leftist identity politics. As I've said many times, and I'll say many more times, the left looks at you, they see what color of skin you are, they see what genitals you have, they see which genitals you like, and then they decide what you should be and what you should conform to. And if you deviate from that norm, well, ask Clarence Thomas how tolerant leftists are if you don't adhere to their liberal view of the world. You think, well, one United States senator saying that, that's ridiculous. She's just doing this for effect, and they're desperate. Yes, she's doing it for effect. They are desperate, but they also believe this crap. They live in this identity politics world. I'm not making a joke. I'm making a joke about it. But the concept isn't a joke when I say that Democrats look at you and they check these mental boxes, and if you don't, they'll pack you into one, and if you don't conform to what they think should exist in those boxes, it's open season on you. They're coming after you. Ask Thomas Sowell. Ask Dr. Walter Williams. They will come after you full force. Ask Senator Tim Scott how tolerant he's found leftists. Well, it's not just senators who adhere to this worldview, who live in this sick, sick bubble. It's also the media. It's largely the media, because if we had an honest media who A, didn't cover this crap, or B, pointed out how this stuff is crap, then maybe politicians wouldn't get away with it and wouldn't try to get away with it and wouldn't divide. I always find it ironic. These people, these liberals, where Donald Trump is tearing this country apart. We need to bring people together. We've never been so divided. We're so divided. Meanwhile, in their head, all they're doing is dividing people. If you're a straight white male, you're the enemy of all the people, even if you're on their team politically. If you're on their team politically, as in the case with Senator Hirono, if you get a chance to see this video, you see Dick Blumenthal and a couple of other senators, Democrats, in the background sort of nodding along like, yeah, we men, we are the problem in this country. We should all shut up. Like, no, Senator Blumenthal, you should shut up about, the lies you told about serving in Vietnam. But no, just because you're guilty of something doesn't mean the rest of us are. Sorry to wake you. Sorry to bring some reality to your world. But that's the way the left works. They don't give a crap about you. They don't give a crap about Dr. Ford. They don't really give a crap about anything except for making sure that one way or another, come hell or high water, Brett Kavanaugh is not sworn in to be a Supreme Court justice. That's all they care about, and they will do anything to get there. One other thing about this this debacle, this fraud being perpetrated on the country, on the front pages of newspapers and on every cable news show nonstop. Oh, by the way, last night I watched Hillary Clinton on with Rachel Maddow. I would play some audio from it, but Hillary Clinton really said nothing. She was not challenged on anything. She wasn't asked difficult questions. She was asked, you know, you're scared of Donald Trump and why? And Hillary's answers were, well, he's dividing people. He's doing horrible things. He's repealing regulations. She offered no specifics. She was asked no specifics. It wasn't preaching to the choir. Like it sounds, it was more like the choir chatting with other choir members during rehearsals. It was so pathetic an interview that nothing worth a damn came out of it, except for that Hillary said that this woman deserves the benefit of the doubt and that accusers deserve the benefit of the doubt. There was nary a mention. Rachel Maddow alluded to the fact of Hillary Clinton's husband and how Hillary Clinton was perhaps the greatest sexual predator enabler of the last century, certainly top five. No mention of that. Casual mention that Bill Clinton had been accused of things and was denied due process. That's kind of funny. He was denied due process. Yeah, because the Hillary Clinton led the Bimbo Eruptions Brigade in the 92 campaign with George Stephanopoulos, now a journalist, and did everything they could to threaten, scare, smear, and destroy anybody who came out and told what her husband did to them. Yeah, Bill was denied due process. Talk to Juanita Broderick about that and get back to me. Talk to Kathleen Willey about due process. The one time Bill Clinton got due process was in the Paula Jones case, and that's when he committed perjury. That's when he suborned perjury of Monica Lewinsky. And that's why he was impeached, the perjury. So, yeah, Bill, he also had to cut Paula Jones an $850,000 check. He also had to turn in his law license. So, yeah, Bill Clinton did get due process, and he got his ass handed to him the one time somebody was able to get through the Clinton machine trying to shut them up. So, there you go. Anyway, this identity politics crap, I didn't forget where we were. It's the media on top of everything else. I'm going to play you a montage put together by the great David Rutz over at the Washington Free Beacon. He is a one-man media research center. He found all of these examples of journalists talking, and this was a big talking point yesterday when it looked like Dr. Ford was going to testify. Now it looks like she's not going to testify, so this is kind of moot. But the leftist media was obsessed with the idea that the Republican senators on the Judiciary Committee are all white men. Those stinking white men. God, they're the worst, aren't they? They're just the cause of all the problems in the world. I mean, yeah, sure, they invented a lot of cures for diseases, a lot of medical treatments, a lot of technology we all enjoy, but they're just the worst. Yeah, they've defended the freedom against the forces of tyranny, but still, they're the worst. They're just the worst. Listen to this montage. It's about a minute and, I think, 15 seconds long, something like that, of journalists. These are journalists. These aren't partisan hacks. These aren't Democrats, elected Democrats saying this crap, because again, they look at you, they see your skin color, they see your genitalia and which genitalia you like, and they put you in a box. This is why part of why journalists, hey, Chuck Todd, if you're looking for a reason why people don't trust journalists, it's not Roger Ailes' fault. It's your fault. Listen to this.
Once again, it will be all white men on the Republican side of the Judiciary Committee questioning both Judge Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford.
The Republicans that are on the Judiciary Committee, it is a lineup of white guys over the age of 50.
All the white men on the Senate Judiciary Committee.
And you've got all white men on the Republican side here.
On the Republican side, all 11 are white men. The Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee, it's 11 white men. And the Republicans, it is 11 white men. The Republicans, it happens to be 11 white men.
Are these white Republican men essentially going to ask her if she's telling the truth?
25 years since the Anita Hill hearings, what hasn't changed is the number of white men. I know, have covered lots of these white men.
And so at the end of the day, if they have a bunch of white men once again defending another white man.
You have 70-something-year-old white men, no offense to them, who don't like their process being disrupted.
On the Senate Judiciary Committee is all white men.
Almost worst-case scenario for a bunch of white men on the Senate Judiciary Committee cross-examining Dr. Ford.
So you can possibly... White men, evil white men, white men, they're just the worst. They're just the worst. And they're straight on top of it all. Democrats, they have like four people of color or non-men on their side. They just lump everybody together as if somehow that makes a difference. It doesn't matter what the color is or the gender is of the liberal trying to impose their garbage agenda on you. What matters is the garbage agenda they're trying to impose on you. That's why you're like, oh, you know, the city of Chicago is going to get a new mayor because Rahm Emanuel is not going to run for re-election. This could bring about real change in the city of Chicago. No, it won't bring about any change in the city of Chicago because it'll just be another liberal. They'll still try and be, they'll be a progressive liberal. They'll still advocate for the same policies that made that amazing city into the absolute hellhole that it is now on the south side and the west side. It doesn't matter what color the person is doing it to you, what gender the person is doing it to you. What matters is what they're doing to you. But by the way, everybody in that montage, every single voice you heard in that montage was a white person. It is the vast majority of the media, if they are very concerned about the racial makeup of people, of senators who will be questioning if she bothers to show up, Dr. Ford, then why aren't they concerned about the racial makeup of the people whining and complaining about the possible questions that Republican senators might ask Dr. Ford? They're not interested in that because that could mean that they might lose their job. They're not really interested in that. They're hypocrites. They're frauds on top of being race-baiting piles of garbage. But I know. I digress. I shouldn't have said that. I apologize unreservedly to piles of garbage. Anyway, that is your world today. 24 hours. Everything has just been turned on its head. We'll talk again in another 24 hours, and who the hell knows? It might be flipped upside down again. If Republicans actually stick to their guns and say, well, if you're not going to testify, we're going to vote, then maybe she'll agree to testify. I would love it personally if Grassley said, all right, Dr. Ford, if you're not willing to come in and testify and answer questions, either publicly or in a private session, then we're going to hold the vote on Thursday like we originally planned. You would watch the Democratic Party and the mainstream media collectively drop a deuce in their pants. And suddenly, I guarantee you, Dr. Ford would say, no, no, no. All right. I now remember more details, and I have found the internal strength. And somehow, without an FBI investigation into things I don't remember, I will testify come Monday. And then she'll probably get sick. It is a complete and total fraud. I no longer believe her. I know you're not supposed to say that, but I have to be perfectly honest. I got to tell you the truth. You can get in a lot of trouble if you're a politician and you say, this story doesn't hold water with me, because we're all forced to say we're supposed to believe anybody who makes allegations, unless it's against a Democrat. Unless it's against, say, the number two Democrat in the Democratic National Committee, like somebody like Keith Ellison, who has been credibly accused of physical and emotional abuse by a woman named Karen Monahan, who was his ex-girlfriend. She has more recent doctor reports and police reports and reports where she has said that Keith Ellison has abused me. Her therapist from last year notes record stating she's dealing with the healing from the abuse, in her own words. And the mainstream media is ignoring the story because why? Is it because Karen Monahan is a woman of color? Is it because Keith Ellison is a person of color, a man of color? Is it because they want him to be the next attorney general of the state of Minnesota? Well, that's probably part of it, but it's mostly because Keith Ellison is a Democrat. And Brett Kavanaugh is not a Democrat. So wild 36-year-old allegations are allowed to go unchallenged and must go unchallenged in the name of justice, whereas credible, documented, recent abuses by a Democrat in good standing are ignored and swept under the rug. If it weren't for double standards, liberals would have zero standards of any sort. Again, that's all the time we have. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for telling a friend. We'll see you in 24 hours. I'm Derek Hunter. Have a great one.